June is here, which means it's finally time to reach for your summer wardrobe. And if you're trying to look good without overheating, Quince is your best bet. Their summer collection has all the warm weather staples, breathable linen, washable silk, and soft organic cotton. I now own their 100% linen pants in more colors than I'd like to admit. And the best part is that you get all that quality without the luxury markup. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're paying for quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a destination for elevated essentials across the home, from kitchen to bedding, making it easy to bring a more premium feel into everyday life. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/campus for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/campus for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/campus.
DMV summers are no joke. The heat, the humidity, the beltway at 5 p.m. AC season is here and your car needs to keep up. Rota is the DMV's most trusted auto shop with over 1,000 five-star Google reviews. From AC checks to oil changes to detailing, we keep your car ready with no hidden fees and no pressure. Plus, free valet pickup and drop-off, so you don't have to lift a finger. Book at rota.com and save 20% on maintenance, repairs, or detailing with code POD20.
The location is Severna Park Naval Security Station. The date is November 20th, 1965. 2300 hours. It's a frigid night, and a high-stakes military operation is taking place on U.S. soil.
We got through the first gate with our cadet IDs. They waved us through without even looking at us.
A group of six men are attempting to gain unauthorized access to Severna Park Naval Security Station, the communications hub for the Navy's Atlantic Fleet.
We approached the second gate and saw that there was a Marine guard coming out, and we didn't have passes for that element. So we saw a road coming in from the left, and we quickly turned last minute left. We got maybe 200 yards and saw there was a construction area and there was a pedestrian gate on the right. And we thought, well, we'll go break into that.
By breaking through this barrier, the group is entering restricted space. They are risking their lives in undertaking this mission.
There's a guy over there with a gun looking for people breaking into this place. We were taunting fate.
But the objective is close, so they press on.
We went through the gate, went up a hill over some trees. On the other side, we see it.
Inside a locked cage, guarded by two armed Marines, they finally spot their target. A goat. But it's not just any goat. It's Bill the 14th, the living mascot of the Naval Academy. And the intruders are West Point cadets. I'm Ian Mont. This week on Campus Files, the Army's got your goat.
My father was in the Air Force for 30 years, and all his peers, I saw and interacted with them socially, but the finest men I ever met were West Point graduates.
That's Tom Carhart. Tom grew up deeply enmeshed in military life from an early age.
They'd have a dinner party, and guys who flew the Enola Gay and dropped the atomic bomb were at that dinner party, the pilot and the bombardier. And they were West Point graduates. They were seen as gods. West Point was built up in my mind as the greatest of men are West Pointers. So all through high school, I aspired to that.
This stretch of land is part of the 16,000 acres that make up the United States Military Academy at West Point, New York. At the suggestion of President Washington, Congress decreed that the United States Military Academy be built here in 1802.
West Point, officially known as the U.S. Military Academy, is one of five academies operated by the Department of Defense. Each academy exists to train future officers for each branch.
There are three main national military academies. United States Military Academy at West Point, the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, and the United States Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Tom knew from an early age that he wanted to go to West Point. But the thing is, getting into West Point isn't like most other schools. In addition to applying and taking the SAT or ACT, you also have to be nominated. And the catch is, the only people who can nominate you are members of Congress, the president, or the vice president.
So with my father's permission, I took 2 weeks off from high school in March of my senior year, and I went to Capitol Hill and I walked around to every congressman and asked for their appointment to West Point.
Tom secured a nomination from a congressman in Michigan. The next fall, he and 807 other freshmen arrived at West Point. Only 579 would graduate.
You know, I got into West Point, and it was tough. It was hell. The first year was grueling. About a third of my class fell away. It was hell, but we endured it. And then you get to sophomore year, and you come back from your summer vacation, and you think you get a 30-day vacation. You think, well, it's all over now. Then you go to Camp Butner for 2 months, where you really learn what the Army's about. And then you go back to West Point. Now you're a yearling, you're an upperclassman. You discover for the first time, it ain't all over. And you got 3 more years of this shit that you have to put up with. But we were there voluntarily, and I endured it voluntarily. I wanted that.
In addition to being physically and psychologically strenuous, Tom's freedom was heavily curtailed.
It was like being in a federal institution, like being in prison. We couldn't leave the post. We couldn't leave our rooms or our study halls often for most of the day. It was a very regimented life, and we had few sparks of joy. One spark of joy was football on the weekends.
West Point has its own football team, known as either the Cadets or the Black Knights, depending on who you ask. And for cadets living such a regimented life at West Point, football games were a moment of freedom and joy. But there was one particular game which mattered more than any other.
The biggest highlight of all was Army-Navy, beat the Navy, because they were really our peers. They were the same young kids who came out of high school and went to an academy with a future career, hopefully, or at least spending part of their mature adulthood in one of the military services, the Army or the Navy.
The Army-Navy game is an annual tradition going all the way back to 1890, and the rivalry was at its peak in the 50s and 60s when Tom was at West Point. So the chance to duke it out was huge. It was maybe the most important moment of the year for a West Point cadet.
You know, you can think back to games like 1958. That's when Pete Dawkins was the Heisman Trophy winner. The game ended on the 1-yard line with Army's ball, 4th and 1, and the time ran out, and Navy won the game. Now, that was a heartbreaker. I was in the stands. That was death. We all went back to the academy depressed.
The Army-Navy rivalry may have peaked in the 50s and 60s, but it goes way back. At the 4th ever Army-Navy game, the Navy unveiled their new mascot, a goat. With the goat supporting the team from the sidelines, the Navy won the game, 6-3. From that point forward, the goat became a part of the team. Now, you may be wondering what a goat has to do with the Navy. For centuries, ships sailed with livestock as a source of much-needed food. And goats were particularly popular because they were also a sort of garbage disposal. They'd eat practically anything, which helped keep the ship clean and the sailors fed. And a few years later, in 1900, the goat received the official name of Bill. Today, we're up to Bill the 36th. But West Point, not to be outdone by the Navy, found it necessary to introduce their own mascot in 1899. They landed on mules.
The tradition of mules as mascots for the Army dates back to 1899. Strong, hardy, durable, the mule is the perfect symbol for the Corps of Cadets.
While all the Navy goats have been named Bill since 1900, the Army mules have had their own names, like Mr. Jackson, Hannibal I, Hannibal II, and Buckshot. But the Army and Navy would take their mascot competition one step further.
Days prior to the 1953 Army-Navy Football Classic, the midshipman's mascot mysteriously disappears and somehow turns up at West Point, but only momentarily.
In 1953, during the height of the school's rivalry, Bill the 12th was kidnapped 1 week before the Army-Navy game by West Point cadets using chloroform and a convertible. The President of the United States, Dwight Eisenhower, had to step in and order the goat's return. But that year, the Army went on to win the game 20-7.
And with a final gun, the Corps of Cadets sweep down out of the stands and engulf their players. On the other side of the stadium, the Navy stands, however, are solemn and dejected.
It felt like it had to be a good omen. So the theft of Bill was repeated again in 1955.
When I was a senior in high school, I read about it in Reader's Digest.
The theft in 1955 caused such an uproar that the superintendents, the commanding officers of each school, made an agreement to prohibit future thefts.
That's when the superintendents made their gentleman's agreement, no more of this, very rigid rules. By God, you'll be kicked out if you get caught. That kind of thing. It was really fearsome.
But to the young and brash students, called cadets at West Point and midshipmen at the Naval Academy, the agreement didn't pass muster.
It was an agreement between two old white men. And it wasn't us. We were the cadets and the midshipmen. If we'd agreed with the midshipmen not to steal their mascot, okay, but we made no such promise.
So in the fall of 1965, Tom and a friend were both sick and recovering in the hospital when an idea struck.
I was in the hospital with Dean Klanos, who was another classmate, and we both talked about that Reader's Digest article and said, why don't we do it? And we decided we would.
This wouldn't be easy. They'd learned that Bill the Goat was moved to a secure location the week before the game, and not just any location, the Severna Park Naval Security Station, the highest security installation in the entire Navy.
Very secure post. And they put him in a pen right behind an internal gate guarded 24/7 by Marines. And that was a fearsome prospect.
So a crew was necessary, and a trust amongst the crew even more so.
I had to be selective. First one I asked was my roommate, Mac Hayes, and he agreed. Dean Klanos recruited Bob Quasimodo in particular because his parents lived in Severna Park.
Bob's father was a high school principal living in Severna Park, a short drive away from Bill's high security compound.
Through Bob, we asked his father to see if he could go over there with his daughter, one of his daughters, and ask to see the Navy goat as tourists, which was permitted. So they did that. There were two gates you had to go through. The first gate, you needed a military ID, and they were able to be waved through to go visit the goat. Then there's a second internal fenced-in area, which is the secure area, with another 24/7 guard, and the goat is in a cage attached to that guardhouse. And so they were allowed to come in and go up and look at the goat, but they couldn't go near him, and they couldn't touch him or anything else. Just stay back. There's the goat over there.
For Bob's dad, the idea Tom and his crew were considering seemed absurd and incredibly dangerous. Bill was being guarded by armed Marines, after all.
They came back and warned Bob Quasimodo, please don't do this. And the word got out to us and we said, oh yeah? Catch us if you can.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
we were in the house, in the Quesnodal house, doing final, what are we going to do, where are we going to get in, and so on. And two of us, me and Dean Klainos, decided we'd do our own recon.
In spite of Bob's dad pleading with them not to go ahead with their plan, the big night had arrived, and Tom and their crew were making their final preparations. Tom and Dean, the architects of the scheme, drove over to the naval base to scope things out for themselves.
We drove out and we got through the first gate with our cadet IDs. They waved us through without even looking at us. They assumed we were other Marines. And we approached the second gate and saw that there was a Marine guard coming out, and we didn't have passes for that element. So we saw a road coming in from the left, and we quickly turned last minute left and went along the 10-foot anchor fence that was enclosed. We got maybe 200 yards and saw the construction area, and there was a pedestrian gate on the right. And we thought, well, we'll go break into that. And we went up to the gate, and it happened there was a padlock in it, but the padlock was unlocked. We lifted the padlock out of the house, turned it away, and pushed the gate open. Nothing happened. We went through the gate, went up a hill. We're 100 yards behind the goat cage. We see it. So we run back the way we came, put the padlock back in place, get in the car and go back to the Quesnodal house.
It seemed almost too easy. Even still, two members of the crew got cold feet and backed out at the last minute, leaving a team of six.
We decided, what can we do? Well, we'll distract the Marines with girls, and then we'll sneak up on the cage, which is right there, you know, 30 feet away from the guardhouse. And we'll sneak up, break the lock, get in, get the goat, and get out.
Before leaving, the team donned their disguises.
We were all wearing dark sweatshirts or sweaters and blue jeans. And I think we had smeared our face with burnt cork. Really, because we're all white guys. And it's the middle of the night.
And just before midnight, go time, or goat time, arrived.
We put our hands in a circle and said, all for one, one for all. That was a laugh at the time. Okay, here we go, guys. Then we split up and we had six guys in the station wagon and two girls in new Mustang. So what we did is the five guys in the station wagon went back exactly the way I had gone in the early recon with Dean Klainos. We went up to the second guardhouse, turned left, went along the fence. There was the pedestrian gate, still unlocked. We went in, took the lock out, closed it behind us. And then we went to the hill that was maybe 100 yards from the goat pen.
Tom and the crew hunkered down to watch for the Mustang. The guard changed shift at midnight, and the girls were due to arrive and distract the guards shortly after.
When we saw the girls approach in the Mustang and the lights flashed on and off, we came down like lightning. We just flew down the hill.
They sprinted most of the remaining 100 meters before stopping short. A pool of light surrounded the guardhouse and the goat pen. They were standing out in the open, shadow and disguise as their only protection.
Adrenaline coursing through my body. I was 3 feet off the ground. I was scared to death. I really was scared. I mean, there's a guy over there with a gun looking for people breaking into this place. We were taunting fate. We could have been shot, literally. But we didn't realistically think of that. We thought of ourselves as immortal. They'll never get me.
But this was the point of no return. They'd come all this way, and it would be a waste to turn back now.
We had left one guy with the car. We brought the crowbar, and we went up to the goat cage. It was on three. One, two, three, and jerked down and broke the lock. So we took it out of the hasp. We went inside and got two ropes around the goat's neck. And Billy wanted to go. He thought we were his regular keepers. And he went out the gate and he ran. I mean, the goat was pulling us.
While they sprinted back to the car, one of the guys placed the lock back on the cage to make it look like it was unbroken. Once they had all made it back to the car, they loaded up Bill and made their escape.
And I'll tell you another thing. When we were driving out of there, he shit and pissed all over all of us in the back seat. and the stench was unbearable.
And it was only a short drive back to the Kismodal house.
And that's when Bob Kismodal and Mac Hayes, they said, "What happened? You chicken out?" And we opened the door and out came the goat and they collapsed.
They couldn't believe they'd actually done it.
I mean, I was all powerful. I was 10 times my normal size. I was a giant.
But now they had a goat and they couldn't bring it back to West Point. But Tom had a plan. His grandma had a farm in upstate New York, conveniently near West Point.
But we had to get back to West Point. And at time's a waste. We got to drive back to West Point tonight. So we got in the car, and the goat began to shed again and pee and everything. And it was a horrible thing. And we had to drive north with him. And what we did is we had two guys would drive with the goat, and the other guys would drive in the station wagon. And we're not in a position to clean the shit up off the seats and the floor. I mean, it was just awful.
There were two guys in a car with the goat, and the rest were in another car, tailing them. They'd take shifts in the goat car, but they quickly ran into trouble.
We're on the New York freeway, and the goat car is in front with Bob Lowry and Dean Klanos in the car with the goat. It's their turn.
All of a sudden, disaster struck. Tom's car broke down, and he was the only one who knew the route.
He blew the horn, flashed the light, they kept going.
Remember, this is 1965. There's no cell phones, no GPS. Tom and the rest of his crew were stranded on the side of a highway, while Bob and Dean would inevitably get lost transporting their hostage.
We walked across pastures, got to a road and hitchhiked, and we were near West Point. We got back to West Point and found a classmate who had a girlfriend with a car. And she got her car out and we went back out on the New York Thruway. Next rest stop, the goat car had pulled over and they were, what the fuck, with the goat outside the car. They didn't know where to go.
They finally found Bob and Dean in a rest stop parking lot with Bill the goat wandering around on a leash. Together, they dropped the goat off at the farm and returned to West Point. So they managed to steal the goat, but there's not much point in stealing the goat if nobody knows about it. So Tom made his way to one of the administration buildings.
They had a mimeograph machine. There was no such thing then as Xerox machines. So we went down and I typed up a message that said, "We've got the Navy goat. Six guys from unknown class. Don't talk to anybody. We're going to present it to the captain of the football team later in the week. Hush up. Don't talk to anybody." And I got him to mimeograph 200 copies of that. And then we went into the mess hall and put one on each of almost every table. So at lunchtime, everybody knew we had the Navy goat. You hear these rumors, "We've got it. Keep quiet. We'll present it to the captain of the football." And the cadets went crazy, of course, when they came in.
What Tom did was technically against direct orders. But being West Point, he had sympathizers. Tom confided in one ally in particular.
He was a rising star. He later became a three-star general. And he was my friend. I told him we had the Navy goat. And he said, "Don't tell me anything else." And he put me in touch with the sergeant major. And I told the sergeant major everything.
The sergeant major at West Point reports directly to the superintendent, the head of West Point.
And the sergeant major, who went to every meeting with the commandant, was our eyes and ears on the ground to get us word of what to do.
If the sergeant major heard anything about the Navy's response or the investigation into the missing goat, he'd put a sign saying, "Beat Navy," in his office window, and Tom would know to call. And of course, the Navy was not going to let their goat stay missing for long, so a short while later, Tom saw the signal and gave the sergeant major a call.
Finally, what happened is they said, "They're coming to get you tonight. They're going to start using their honor against them to ask cadets if they know anything about the Navy goat. You better get it back here. Do something."
The Navy had been embarrassed, and they weren't going to stand by waiting for Bill to be returned. So Marines and FBI agents were about to swarm West Point.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Isn't it crazy that America is turning 250 years old? I mean, look how far we've come. Now, we've got coolers in our sofas, light-up cup holders, and power-articulating headrests. When it comes to furniture worthy of this major milestone, Bob's Discount Furniture has all the styles all of America wants at the everyday low prices we deserve, backed by tons of five-star reviews. Check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa, a genuine leather one-stop shop for relaxation with built-in charging, cup holders, and supportive bobopedic seats, perfect for lounging in the AC all day. You can even complete the look with the matching love seat and recliner. Throwing summer parties? The HomeWorks dining set features comfy bobopedic seating and clever storage built right into the table and bench. Or customize your space with the customer favorite modular Bob Sectional. It has over 1,000 five-star reviews, family-proof construction, and wireless charging for hundreds less than the competition. At only $250 per piece, building your dream sectional is incredibly affordable. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
So that night, four of us left. We were going up to my grandmother's farm to get the goat.
Tom Carhart just received a tip that the FBI and Marines were headed to West Point to search for Bill the goat. So they gathered together to retrieve Bill.
We put on civilian clothes and we're walking through North Area, which darkened. And we're walking through a sally port and we hear a U-man halt. And it was Colonel Hamblin, one of the regimental commanders. He walked up to us and said, "Where do you men think you're going?" And Bob Lowry, who was a senior cadet captain, he said, "Sir, we're going to a farm in upstate New York to get the Navy goat and bring him back here." And Colonel Hamblin, he said, "As you were, men," and walked away.
By 9 or 10 p.m., they had made it back to West Point with the goat. They dropped Bill off at the Mule Barn, which is ironically the home base of West Point's mascot.
We put in the Mule Barn and went back to our cadet areas. And at about 10 o'clock, I got alerted by the sergeant major to call him right away. And I did. And they said, "They found the goat." And the FBI and the Marines and the MPs are all over it.
Tom had a choice to make. The goat was still at West Point, but none of the cadets had seen proof of their victory. By morning, Bill would be gone.
If we just walk away, it'll disappear. So we decided we'd have a last-minute rally after class in the morning before lunch. And we had plebes standing out there saying, "Big rally before dinner. Don't miss it. They're going to talk about the goat." So we had maybe 1,000 cadets there. And I got up in a dumpster with a loudspeaker and said, "We got the Navy goat. We got their prize. We conducted a raid into their most inner sanctum and stole their most precious icon and brought it back to West Point on high in triumph." And I said, "Unhappily, we brought him back here last night and put him in the Mule Barn, and the MPs found him."
Amidst the chaos, a colonel was watching the rally.
Colonel Hamblin had been watching us from the window behind the commandant's office listening to the rally. And he came down and came up to the dumpster. He had a pad of disciplinary forms and a pen. And he said, "I don't know what you men think you're doing, but I'll have your name and company." And I said, "Sure, sir. Carhart, TM, E2.
2 weeks later, Tom and the crew were summoned to a disciplinary board. They were lined up in order of rank in front of four colonels.
And they said, "Okay, we'll give you a choice. You can tell us everything that happened, or you can remain silent, and we'll decide accordingly from what we know what your punishment will be. And what do you want to do?" They said, "We'll leave and let you decide." So they left. We talked about it and said, "What the hell? They know it all. We'll tell them all." And I told them in great detail what we'd done.
Tom and his fellow cadets were risking expulsion. So Tom's dream of graduating from West Point hung in the balance.
They had a couple of questions, like, "How did you get that goat in the car?" And he ripped up the upholstery. He was eating the pal. It was a bad news thing. It was a borrowed car from a dealer.
It was terrifying standing in front of the disciplinary board. Tom was proud of what he'd done, but he knew there would be consequences. As he told more of the story, he could see these usually stern and distant men change.
They were delighted. They were all smothering their laughter. Because they're all West Point graduates, and when they were cadets, they remembered Army Navy, and maybe they remembered the 55 heist. It was a big, notorious thing. To steal a Navy goat was a very big deal.
After Tom explained the whole story, they were dismissed to await further news. A week later, the whole group was summoned, one by one, to see the commandant, the officer in charge of the Corps of Cadets, basically the dean of students at West Point.
And we went in to see the commandant, and he said a lot that was very meaningful to us. It was congratulatory in an indirect way. He said, "Well done," which are sacred words at West Point. Because in the alma mater, the West Point alma mater, the last chorus goes, "And when our day is done, our time on life has run, it be said, well done, be thou at peace." Whew, I'm sorry. And that's a very meaningful set of words. And it's an indirect congratulations because we had learned how to run a high-risk raid and carry it off. And we did it. We learned that all at West Point, there's no question.
And what about the Army-Navy game itself?
The game resulted in a 7-7 tie, which was dismal. But, you know, we were enthused anyway. We were almost carried on shoulders into the mess hall. We were celebrated famously. And thereafter, we were hot shots.
Tom's crew became legendary for their heist. And they weren't the last to do it. In the years since, the Air Force, Navy, and Army have each at various points stolen each other's mascot. Air Force cadets at one point stole Bill and flew him in the bomb bay of a B-26 to Colorado.
What do you make of the fact that this tradition of thefts has continued?
I think it's wonderful. I shouldn't say that. No, I think it should be harshly restricted. You know, West Point is an institution. It runs its own affairs. Should it be forbidden? Yeah, I guess so. Should it be harshly punished if they're caught? Yeah, I guess so. Should they be shot by Marines if they get caught? No.
Not every theft has been without consequence, though. In one case, 17 Naval cadets and 2 Navy SEALs kidnapped all 4 West Point mules after cutting phone lines and tying up 6 guards. The Army scrambled helicopters in response. The theft of mascots was again banned after this incident. But still, the kidnappings continued. In 2007, West Point cadets undertook Operation Good Shepherd, abducting all 3 goats, going so far as to post videos and tactical plans in a YouTube video provocatively titled, "Hey Navy, missing anything?" And in 2021, cadets tried to steal Bill the 37th, but made so much noise that they spooked him. They were only able to nab Bill the 35th, a 14-year-old retired mascot with arthritis and only one horn. Tom's now in his 80s, and he looks back at his time with Bill incredibly fondly.
It was a great feat in my life. I mean, one of the great things I've ever done. in some ways, it was a collegiate prank and all that stuff. But in other ways, it was a pretty grim prospect with armed Marines at the Savannah Park Naval Security Station 24/7. I was intimidated, but I did it anyway.
Perhaps a big part of why it's so meaningful for Tom connects to what it means to attend a military academy like West Point in the first place.
You have to understand, you've got young men and now women who come innocent to West Point. And over 4 years, you're going to try to make them into not automatons, but obedient servants who will willingly offer their lives for their country. You have to be able to get young people to agree with you. Their mindset is, in service to the country, I will offer my life, literally. I will bleed for my country. And that's not easy. When you take in young men now and women, 18 years old, who know nothing, you inculcate into them over 4 years this almost a passion of service as a West Point graduate. That's what your duty is. Duty on our country. And it strikes very deeply. I'm a West Point graduate. I'm very proud of that. It's my base. It's my source. It's my core. It's what I am. And I've done a lot of other things, but nothing changes that. I'm proudest of all of being a West Point graduate.
Campus Files is an Odyssey original podcast. This episode was written and reported by Ian Mont. Campus Files is produced by Ian Mont, Elliot Adler, and me, Margot Gray. Our executive producers and story editors are Maddie Sprungkaiser and Lloyd Lockridge. Campus Files is edited, mixed, and mastered by Chris Basil and Andy Jaskowitz. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman, J.D. Crowley, Leah Reese-Dennis, Maura Curran, Josephina Francis, Kurt Courtney, Hilary Schuff, Sean Cherry, Laura Berman, and Hilary Van Ornum. Original theme music by James Waterman and Davey Sumner. If you have tips or story ideas, write to us at campusfilespod@gmail.com.